In a fast-paced society that is continuously searching for truth, the Bible has the answers that will bring true joy and lasting satisfaction. We invite you to join us for Truth for Today with Dr. Neil Jackson. Dr. Jackson's verse-by-verse preaching will answer your deepest questions from God's holy word.
How committed are you to Scripture? How committed are you to dialoguing about Jesus every day of your life?
So open your Bible and your heart to hear Truth for Today.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Truth for Today. I love the Gospel of John because it's all about Jesus. And today we see Jesus' heart for the world, how he is the good shepherd who seeks and saves those which are lost. So if today's sermon is a blessing to you, you can receive it with your generous donation. If you'd like to receive the entire series, request it, the Gospel of John, Volume 6, with your donation of $50 or more. One of my pet peeves is I do not like being late. That is not my wife's pet peeve. That is like my wife's pet. She likes being late, I think, sometimes. My grandpa's mantra, if you're not 5 minutes early, you're late. Now, there are times I'm late, but not with a good attitude. I don't like being late, period. So if I'm late, I'm on edge. I don't like being late. But when we come to John chapter 11, we see there are some times being late is out of your control and there's nothing that you can do about it. And when God's involved, it's a good thing. Now, Tracy would like for me to say that again, but when God's involved, it's a good thing. Now, throughout the Gospel of John, we've seen Jesus in every chapter and on every page. John chapter 4, the nobleman, he came, his son was at the point of death. He thought Jesus couldn't heal from afar. And there we saw that Jesus is God's answer to man's doubt. John chapter 5 was the paralyzed man. And Jesus is God's answer for man's disabilities. John chapter 6, we saw Jesus feed the 5,000. Five loaves and two fishes. Jesus is God's answer for man's desires. His cravings. John chapter 6, we saw Jesus walking on the water. Jesus is God's answers for the despairs of life. John chapter 9, the blind man who was blind for 38 years from birth. And we see in that chapter and saw in that chapter that Jesus is God's answer for man's blindness and his darkness. Today we come to John chapter 11, maybe my favorite chapter in this whole book. We see that Lazarus was a dead man, and Jesus is God's answer for man's problem with death. So on every page and every chapter, the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever you're going through, whatever the situation is, the answer is always and forever Jesus. And that is the answer today. Five observations from a graveside service of Lazarus. Sermon I'm entitling, A Graveside Service to Remember. First observation, notice the sickness. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick whose name was Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. So this family is tore up that their baby brother, Lazarus, is sick. Anytime sickness comes into a family, it's a disturbing time. And no doubt in this time, they didn't have the medicine and the doctors and the hospitals that we do. This was a disturbing time for this family. Verse 3, therefore his sister sent unto him saying, Lord, behold, whom thou lovest, He's sick. Look at verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. This is one of the places Jesus loved going. If he had some time and it wasn't too far out of the way, he was going to Bethany. He was going to go hang out with his friends, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. The fact that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus did not mean that they were immune from sickness and immune from suffering. God does not put Christians in this germ-free bubble. Okay, I love you and you love me, therefore you're going to have a pain-free life. No. Jesus loved them dearly. And they still face sickness. And they still face suffering. Remember John chapter 9? The paralyzed guy, the disciples asked Jesus, Jesus, who did sin? This guy or his parents that he was born this way, born blind? Jesus says, neither one of them sinned. But this is all about that God's glory would be manifested. Look at verse 3 again. Therefore, his sister sent unto him. The best thing that you can do when a problem comes into your life is make a beeline to Jesus. Whatever the situation is, before you do this and before you do this, the best thing, the first thing, what if it's financial, if it's vocational, if it's relational, if it's medicinal, the first thing you should do, run to Jesus. Number two, notice the silence. Now you would think these were his friends. These were his special friends. You would think they would drop everything that Jesus would drop everything that he was doing and go right down to Bethany to be with his friends. Look at verse 6. He abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now that's kind of strange, kind of odd to me. How do you think Mary and Martha felt? How do you think old Lazarus felt? Man, I'm dying here. I'm sick here. Y'all call for Jesus. Lazarus, we did call for Jesus. Jesus hadn't got here. Don't you know they were asking the question, where's Jesus? What happened to Jesus? Why hadn't Jesus showed up? Have you ever had a need in your life? And it just seems like, Jesus, I sent for you. But Jesus hadn't answered me. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. Therefore will the Lord wait. Why does the Lord wait? When I have this whatever problem, vocational or relational or health problem, therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you. So anytime God got this problem and I can't find God, here's what you know. The reason there is waiting on your half is because there is a promise, there is a purpose, there is a provision that's coming on your behalf. God says, hey, you're not ready for it, but hey, I'm going to come into that situation and I'm going to show you grace. You just hang on. You just keep praying. I'm going to come through for you. He waits so that he can show you grace. Look at verse 4. He gives us a little clue. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness, not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. What's he saying? Death is not going to have the final word. Oh yeah, death is going to sweep in there, but death is not going to have the final word. No, no, no. Glory is going to have the final word. Oh, death is going to come in, and death is going to have to try to steal the show. But Jesus is going to steal the show from death. And that's what he's saying for us as well. A lot of times, the bad report from the doctor, or the worry and fear from the devil will roll in, and it'll try to steal your joy, and it'll try to steal the show. But Jesus says, sickness is not unto death. Look down at verse 11. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus, he sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Now, sleep in Scripture is a euphemism for death. Death for the believer is just compared to sleep. Yesterday, I visited with a couple people that are getting close to that crossing over period where they're going to see Jesus face to face, where their faith is going to become sight. And Larry, they're not going to die. They're going to be more alive than ever before. And he says, hey, your earthly earth suit, your body, it's going to fall asleep. But the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall arise. They shall wake up. That you sleep to wake up. And that's what he's saying. Hey, he's just asleep. Look at the next verse. Disciples, they don't get it. They misunderstand what he's saying in verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad. Jesus, Lazarus is dead, and you're glad about it? Jesus, why are you glad that Lazarus is dead? And this is what Jesus was saying. Because I'm going to change that gloom into glory. I'm going to change your weeping into rejoicing. I'm going to change your sorrow into shouting. But I cannot do that unless you go through the valley of the shadow of death. Number three, notice the sorrow. Look down at verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that they had laid him in the grave. 4 days already. Here's Martha, Mary, they're tending their little brother. What a devastating experience. Tears are running down their cheeks. Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus when we needed him? Notice how these two sisters handle this experience differently. Martha's the more aggressive one. Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Can you hear the tone of her voice? Can you see the distress in her face? Martha's not happy. Jesus, we needed you, and you let us down. Why didn't you show up? Why didn't you come in our time of need? Why didn't you do what we wanted you to do? Can you sense her frustration? People deal with death differently. Pause. When somebody gets in your face, and the emotion and the passion, and they're coming after you. You didn't do this. I don't like this, and you should have done this. And they're yelling at you. How do you respond? Probably not like Jesus. Look at verse 23. Soft answer turns away wrath. Jesus responds to Martha. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He says, I am. You fill it in the blank. She said, Jesus, this is what we need. And Jesus says, hey, I am it. Martha was speechless. So she turns around, she goes back to Mary, called Mary her sister and secretly saying, the master come. Hey, the master is come. The master has come. The master has come. Everything is fine because Jesus is here. But notice, look on in the verse. The master is come. Mary, he's calling for you. He knows you. He knows your heart. Mary, Jesus is here. And Mary, he's calling for you. Everything is great when Jesus shows up and he calls your name. Can you see the tears in her eyes as Mary comes walking up? Look down at verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him. See what she does? She fell down at his feet. When you have questions, the best way to deal with your questions is come to the feet of Jesus. Jesus, here's my questions. I don't understand. Number four, notice the Savior. Look at verse 33. Jesus therefore saw her weeping, the Jews also weeping, which came with her. He groaned in his spirit. It means to be very upset with indignation. Why is Jesus so upset with indignation? He's angry about sin, which caused death and sorrow. Jesus knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead in a few moments. Why is he weeping? Look at verse 34. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Verse 35. Jesus wept. Why is he weeping? He knows the end from the beginning. He knows he's getting ready to call Lazarus up out of the grave. Why is Jesus weeping? I think he's weeping for his friends. We have a Savior who's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. When you hurt, glory to God, he hurts as well. He bottles, Psalm says, he bottles up every one of our tears. So when you're going through hard times, Jesus cares. Oh, yes, he cares. He knows exactly what you're going through. I think he's weeping for his friends. I think he's weeping for Lazarus. Lazarus is in the land of the living, and he's getting ready to be called back to the land of the dying. I think he's weeping for his friend Lazarus. Look at verse 37. Some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" That was the problem. They were viewing Jesus as just a man. Hey, he's no mortal man. He's the God-man. They were putting Jesus into a box. Jesus, we know you can touch eyes. We know you can heal the paralyzed. We know you can heal the leper. If you would have just got here, then you would have done something. But he's dead. Sorry, you can't do anything now. And that's the problem a lot of us have. We have God in our little religious box. All right, he can take me to heaven, but he can't do this. Can't trust him with that. Can't do this. Oh, yeah, he can. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus can solve every problem you have. You just got to trust him. Verse 38, Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave, a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Why do you do that? He's getting ready to call a dead man back to life. Why didn't he just say, "Stone, get out of my way. You're slowing me down." Here's the reason. Jesus is never going to do for us what we can do for ourselves. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh. For he hath been dead 4 days. Whatever he tells you to do, just go do it. You can't have it both ways. He's either Lord or you're arguing with him. He can't be Lord and you tell him no. Lord, okay, I'm obeying completely and absolutely. No arguing, no reservation. Notice Jesus' amazing patience with Martha. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Instead of reacting to the tone of her voice, he speaks to her heart. He says, Martha, this is an issue of faith. If you'll believe, you'll see the glory. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Verse 43. And when he had thus spoke, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. If he had not said Lazarus, every dead man who had ever been buried would have come up out of the grave. Lazarus, come forth. Verse 44. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Can you picture Lazarus in heaven? Anybody had a right for a bad attitude. I don't want to go. Jesus wants you back down there. Anybody had a right for a bad attitude. Lazarus had a right for a bad attitude. I mean, he's in the presence of God Almighty. And then he's got to come back with these complaining, unrighteous people. Look at verse 44. He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Can you see him squinting from the sunlight? His eyes hadn't been open in 4 days. He's a dead man laying there in that grave, in that cave. How's a dead man going to get up? Lazarus, come forth. He can't. He's dead. Every one of God's commands come with the power to do it. God says, I want you to trust me with 10% of your money. Can't afford it. Every one of God's commands come with the power to do it. I want you to go witness to that guy that you work with. I can't. I don't have the vernacular. I'll give you the words to say. I want you to go. I want you to stop watching pornography on your phone. I can't do that. I'm addicted. I'll give you the power to stop it. Every one of God's commands, he gives you the power. Notice the saints. Verse 44. He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto, next word, them. Say it with me again. Jesus said unto, one more time. Jesus said unto, loose him. Let him go. Lazarus is alive, but he's bound. These grave clothes, they got his legs together, arms to his side, across his mouth. There's life beating in him, but he's wrapped up with the garments of the old life, filled with corruption, still clinging to him, bound. Oh, he has new life busting inside of him, but still he has the garments of the old life clinging to him. Jesus doesn't say, Lazarus, loose yourself and get rid of those grave clothes. He says unto them, y'all, Southern, loose him, let him go. when somebody comes to know Jesus. They still have the old garments of the old life, the corruption of the old life. Whose job is it to help them get rid of all those old gray clothes? It's our job. It's the church's job. It's called discipleship. Verse 44, loose him and let him go. Look at verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Miracle of Lazarus resulted in people believing on Jesus. Has your miracle resulted in people believing on Jesus? Look up at verse 40 and I'll be done. Two statements in verse 40 and I'll be done. God's timing is always right. God's timing is always best. God's timing is always perfect. God's delays are because He has something better in store for you. Look at verse 40. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. You say, Pastor, how does this story apply to me and what I'm going through? Here it is. I don't know what you're going through. Jesus does. But it's a matter of faith. Jesus is the great I am who wants to meet every need that you have. If it's salvation, He wants to be your Savior. But after salvation, He wants to be your protector. He wants to be your provider. He wants to be your Lord and Savior and meet every need that you have. What He says to Martha here, said I not unto thee. She was a follower. If you would believe, you'll see the glory. And I coming into your business. There's some glory awaiting if you will just believe in Jesus.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Truth for Today. Our prayer is that God's Word has ministered to your deepest need and answered many of your questions about life. Truth for Today is only able to broadcast on this station through the regular prayers and financial support of God's people. Would you consider becoming a monthly partner of Truth for Today? You may mail your gifts to Truth for Today, Post Office Box 104, Bennett, North Carolina 27208. If you would like to receive a copy of today's message, please request this sermon with your donation of any amount. If you would like to donate by credit card, you may call 336-581-3170. Be assured that God's Word has the answer for your every need. And join us next time for Truth for Today.